Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I thought when Brother Back was talking, a young man I work with needed to hear that. He has one child, him and his wife both working. Makes 100 times what this brother in Romania makes. It has 14 kids. And guess what he said? We'd love to have more children, but they're so expensive. Isn't it amazing how our forefathers that made 1/10 what we make had 10 to 20 children, many of them did, raised them all, they didn't starve to death, and now we have so much, and everybody's lamenting we just can't afford children. I'll tell you what the problem is, it's in what you love. And the more material things that a nation has, the more people will tend to love material things instead of children. You know, God's idea of blessing someone is different from ours. When Abraham did the acts of obedience, when he believed God, first of all, and then later on he even offered up his son Isaac, God said, I'm going to bless you. Surely, and he repeated it, blessing, in blessing thee, I will bless thee. What am I going to do for you, Abraham? I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars. You see, God loves children more than he loves silver and gold. And he wants us to love children and love people more than we do material things. And a lot of people say they do, but their actions prove otherwise. I think that this week a couple different things happened that I kind of discerned what the Spirit was saying, and I got to looking at the word love, and I noticed something here in Song of Solomon that I had never noticed before. Because of Valentine's Day, we have all the red hearts, you know, the heart love is the great emphasis. But here in the Song of Solomon, five different places, he talks about soul love. Let me see. Chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. You know, sometimes love causes us to neglect some things because of more important things. Love caused Mary to neglect housework because Jesus was in the house teaching, you see. Here he said, my own vineyard have I not kept. I was in a revival one time. Some of the people testify and said they had to neglect some things around the house because they had to go to revival. Sometimes you can't keep your own vineyard because you love the Lord more than your own vineyard. Verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. There it is. Soul love, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Four verses in a row. Talks about soul love. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. 4 verses and 4 times he talks about soul love. So I thought, maybe we've got this Valentine's thing partly wrong. Heart love is a wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing. If you've ever experienced it, you know that. But it's not enough. You know, Jesus said, first commandment, love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. I like the way C.S. Lewis said it. He said, lovers stand face to face. They are preoccupied with one another. They're awed by one another. They admire. They're in a mutual admiration society. And if you read the Song of Solomon, you get that picture very clearly. He said lovers stand face to face, but he said friends, they stand side by side. Said what makes friends is they see the same truth. They look at the world around them, or they look at the truth of God's Word, or they even look at the truth of wise men, and friendships spring up. In fact, I've made a friend the last few weeks for that very reason. We see the world a lot alike, and we stand side by side. Well, David and Solomon, great example of friendship. Jesus himself said it. I call you no more servants. Said, I can't call you servants anymore because a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I'm telling you all things that I do. You see, friends bear their souls with one another. They share their goals, their dreams, their desires, their thoughts with one another. And they stand side by side. So what I'm saying this morning is, well, as I said, something happened this week. A lady told me, she said, I think she was trying to encourage me. She said, you know, well, she had a happy marriage. It was a wonderful marriage. She said, and I said, well, I believe that's possible. I said, it's also rare. I said, I read a statistic that said only 1 in 10 marriages where both husband and wife said they were happy. The tenth belongs to the Lord. Amen. And but you know what she went on to say? She said, but I married my friend. You see, I didn't just marry. There wasn't just the heart love. There was soul love. And that's not the only time I've heard that message, as somebody said. Because you see, lovers do stand face to face. And what happens? You know what happens after a while, generally? They get that all that admiration and awe, it turns to boredom. Oh, yes. The truth is, they get bored with one another. But if they're also friends, you see, they can look at the Lord. They can stand side by side and look at the truth of God's Word, and they can agree on the world around them. They can agree on how they ought to raise their children and how their home ought to be structured. And they have soul love. And that takes over even when the heart love lessens, when it's not of the same intensity. Oh yes, a wise person would marry their friend. Heart love in and of itself is not enough. But as Solomon said in this Song of Songs, it was him whom my soul loveth. One woman said, I'm not sure if this was Jane Austen, She said, when a woman marries, she changes the attention of many men for the inattention of one man. And oftentimes that's true because of what I said about heart love. The boredom factor enters in. He's no longer interested in her. But if they share a lot of other common interests, they'll keep love alive. So let's remember that. Soul, you know, your children, it's one thing to say, oh, my heart is stirred. So many people, they have a chemical reaction or something or other, and they marry on that basis only of heart love and spend a lifetime regretting. Let's look a little more at what Jesus said about love. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 22. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. What kills love? Me first. A me first attitude. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said, no, don't put me first. Follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. Well, in the book of Luke, he said it a little bit differently. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, the first had the right attitude, Lord, I'm just going to forsake all and follow you. But he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't plow a straight row looking back. You can't fulfill your destiny, which is to do the work of God, looking back. You've got to look ahead. In fact, to plow a straight row, you've got to keep something way in the distance and line up with it. Got to keep God's standard always in the distance. When the reference here refers back to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 20, you remember when Elijah went by Elisha and threw his mantle on him, said, follow me. And Elisha said, wait a minute, I got to go bid farewell. And the man of God let him do that at that stage of his life. And he went and sacrificed and had a going away party with his family there. But later on, Elisha was not allowed that luxury, and he was more dedicated than doing it. Later on, when the man of God said to Elisha, stay here, and I'm going to Gilgal. Stay here, I'm going to Jordan. Stay here, I'm going across Jordan. Elisha had changed. He was much more, his love was much stronger for the man of God. And he said, nothing but death is going to separate us. You know, I'm going to stay with you. You're stuck with me. And I'm going all the way. And I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, well, you got to be with me when I'm taken away. And for that reason, he would not leave him. At first he said, well, just let me go and bid them farewell. He doesn't even want to do that. Suffer me first. Because you see, all through your life, the me first attitude will stop you from loving God, first of all, the way you should. And it'll stop you from loving friends or family or husband or wife or anybody else that me first. I got to do this for me first, God, and then I'll do something for you. There's millions of people across this country that have that attitude. Well, I'll serve God later on, but me first. I've got all these things that I want to do with my life. I want to enjoy life. I'm only going to be young once. I want to do this and I want to do that. Me first. And therefore, they can never love God or follow Him as they ought to. In John chapter 21 and verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Well, he didn't exactly answer the question. Jesus didn't just ask, do you love me? He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter's answer was just, you know I love you. And Jesus asked him again. Of course, he was using a different word for love in his answer. You know I'm your friend, Lord. Well, Peter couldn't answer that he loved Jesus with agape love, because if he had, he never would have denied him as he did. So Jesus asked him again, do you love me with the love of God, divine love that never fails? Peter said, Lord, you know I'm your friend. Then the third time, he grieved Peter because he asked him, are you even my friend? Phileo, with the Greek word, he used the Greek word phileo. Peter, are you even really my friend? Because Jesus said, a man would, no greater love hath any man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. And Peter had failed at that point. And Peter was grieved. But Jesus didn't want to leave him grieved or leave him in despair. So he ended up telling him, Peter, when you were a young man, you came and went as you pleased. That's the selfishness and self-love of youth. A baby is born. The only thing it has is need love. It loves mommy because it needs mommy. But he wants us to grow up, as he said to Peter. Later on, he said, when you get old, you're not going to be like you were when you were young. You're going to finally mature, and you're going to arrive, Peter. And he said, they're going to lead you where you don't want to go and stretch you out. You failed to go to the cross with me, but you will when you get old. You're going to mature in this love to the point of gift love. It won't all just be, well, I love the Lord because I need the Lord. But it'll also be, I love Him so much I want to follow His example, who gave His all for me, and I want to give my all for Him. That's the measure of mature love. And God takes all of us through this process. Nobody starts out grown up. We've all got to grow in grace and knowledge. Be patient with yourself. That's what he was saying to Peter, because Peter had really given up on himself at that point. And Jesus was saying, don't give up, Peter. You'll mature You haven't arrived yet, but you will. It's down the road. And you will go all the way in your consecration. And that's the message for every one of us this morning. Don't be so discouraged with yourself because of your failures that you give up. But realize God's working on you. He's going to bring you to maturity if you'll continue to follow Him. That was the message to the new disciple. Jesus just said, follow me. And He'll lead you to higher heights and deeper depths. Amen.